This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, it's time to fire it up. It's The Boss and the Gloss, SB Nation Radio. I'm David Gao. Next to me is Carla Dawson, and we have Robert Harris behind the glass.
Whoop,
Robert,
whoop.
Welcome in, everyone.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much.
It's the dream teamer behind the glass.
I'd say, but you're part of the dream team. Carla Dawson, the gloss.
Well, I'm between a man-witch right now.
Yeah.
I've got you on my left and Robert on my right. Let's go.
Let's go. Well, no horsing around, as you said in your headline. Justify wins the Triple Crown. Pretty exciting victory.
2 years after American Pharoah does it.
Yeah, I can remember way back Secretariat. It was sort of...
Well, that was 37 years prior.
Never to happen again. And here we go. We've got these winners.
Wow. And that Bob Baffert, he is the gold mind. I mean, everything he touches.
The wow. Midas touch.
The Midas touch.
Well, you're the gloss. You've got triple crowns all over what you're wearing. You're looking... See
so
her,
I
Robert?
Would think...
See all the jewels? She's bejeweled.
Yeah,
oh,
I've
you know what?
That.
Actually, I am going to show Robert. Check it. Can you see?
Yes, I can see.
Oh, my.
See business in the front, party in the back.
Business in the front, party in the back. The gloss is ready. The Monday Night Delights. She's going to turn it loose tonight.
It's really good. This is radio and not television.
You know, in one sense, I was a little disappointed because I thought tonight that we would be watching, as we had the show, Game 5 of the NBA Finals.
You're disappointed?
Well, I thought it would be tonight. Yeah, not disappointed in this sense.
Okay.
The suspense was gone after game one. There was no way the Cavaliers were going to recover from that. So it's best it's over. We can now move on, I suppose.
And you know, it is fun to have a sweep. When you think there hasn't been a sweep in 11 years, and the last sweep was also at the expense of LeBron James and the Cavs. San Antonio ran over them.
Ran over them.
So I loved it. I loved it. Unfortunately, no one's really talking about it because... LeBron's got all the headlines.
Well, when we come back, we are going to talk about this Golden State Warriors team, the exceptional season they had, their championship win.
Thank you.
Before we move to LeBron,
okay.
We will give the Warriors first billing. When we return, we're going to diagnose just how the Warriors did it. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, Robert does know how to play the music that makes Carla dance. Well
thank
done, Robert.
Roberto.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you.
All right, tonight would have been Game 5 of the NBA Finals. But what was notable about this final series is how one-sided it was, how dominant Golden State was. They almost lost game one, but after that, there was no looking back.
60-point differential in the series, which is the biggest ever for a sweep.
So an average of 15-point victory over
right.
four games, that's really a big spread.
It's really a big spread. And, you know, part of the question to me is, and we can get to this more in the second hour, but did the Cavs, or were they the team that really deserved to be there? Because we all know that Golden State, and I think everyone knows now, even cemented in further, they are that far above the rest. They are head and shoulders above the rest. And what I think really said it to me was this. So you look at the finals MVP, which was Kevin Durant. I had no problem with that at all. But I was like, wow, that could actually have been Steph Curry as well.
Sure could
when
have.
You think about it, he set the finals record for 9 threes
yep.
in game two,
I believe. Yep.
And then in his final game, his line was insane. He had, what was it, 37 points. He had, you know, three blocks.
Six rebounds, four assists. And that's just the pedestrian night for him, right?
Right. So
it looks so easy. You don't even notice it. It happens so quietly.
Exactly. And guess what? So the Golden State dynasty began with Curry, clearly. You know,
yep.
in 2015 was their first championship, and Durant didn't come until 17. And he put them in the position, really, to win three of four. You know, he was kind of the catalyst, and they do have now four All-Stars. But think about this. So I just talked about those major numbers for Steph Curry, and he's not the MVP. The most important player on your team, the catalyst that got this entire dynasty started, is not your MVP of the finals.
Yeah.
It's somebody else. And when you think about that, that Golden State doesn't need their best player to be their best player on the floor in order to win a title.
Yep.
They're really able to spread it around. How do you compete with that?
Hard to compete. I mean, there were games when Durant wasn't that much of a factor in the playoffs, and then they actually turned him on, and when they turned him loose, they were a whole other level. It is interesting when you look back at that team. Durant is really the only one outsider. I mean, they obviously went out and got
him. He's their only free agent.
But the rest of them is it's a homegrown team, really. It's a team that was developed and, well, drafted well and developed well.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly it, and you've got to credit ownership. I don't want to hear this. Well, it's a super team. I mean, he went to a good roster. They made one big free agent acquisition, and that was Kevin Durant. But remember, they had already won a title with Steph, Draymond, Clay. Andrew Bogut was their center.
That's
at the
right.
Time. And then it was Zaza Pachulia. And now, you know, it's Andre Iguodala. So they've been able to do it just like what you said. They have drafted well. They've developed well. And credit the organization and management for that. And they want one good free agent, amazing free agent.
Well, when you say you're not sure that the Cavaliers are really the best team that could have matched up against them, are you thinking, well, it's too bad that the brackets don't work differently and it could have been the Rockets and Rockets and the Warriors in the finals? Or are you saying maybe the Celtics would have been a better opponent from the East?
I was thinking the Celtics.
Yep.
And I agree with you. I felt when I was watching the Western Conference Finals, I felt like I'm watching the finals. I'm watching what, honestly, looking at pure talent, I'm watching the finals right now.
Yep.
But knowing that can't happen. But I really do think, in all honesty, the Cavs shouldn't have even gotten out of the first round. If you remember with Indiana, there were two huge big miscalls, a goaltending on LeBron that would not have sent it would have sealed the game for Indiana, wouldn't have sent them into overtime. The Cavs would not have won. And then there was another missed call, and it came out in the 2-minute report the next day. So I honestly, if all things were equal, and I could say the same about game one in Golden State. Maybe that call doesn't, you know, Kevin Durant, the charging blocking call, doesn't get overturned. But I would have seen Indiana coming out of the first round, but I would have seen, when all is said and done in the East, Boston standing.
All right, Robert, as she's talking, I see you nodding in agreement, which always makes me nervous when you two agree on anything. But
yeah,
you think the Celtics would have been a more worthy opponent, maybe not have gotten swept 4-0 with a total point differential of 60, which was a pretty big gap.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think the Celtics would have gave at least two games to the Warriors. I mean, of course, the Warriors would have won the NBA Finals again. But I think that the young talent that Boston possesses with Jason Tatum, Terry Rozier, but unfortunately, they just ran into a monster named LeBron James, and then the inexperience played a big part in that series, so that's why they didn't advance to the NBA Finals. But Boston would have gave them a chance, a little scare, just a little scare. I mean, you still have Kevin Durant. I mean,
yeah, they would have taken a game or two.
Yeah, they would have taken a game or two, but I don't see them beating the Warriors. But it would have been a better position for them to be in the NBA Finals, though.
Absolutely. No, I do agree with you, Robert. And you said the perfect thing, what's going on in Boston. It's like during the regular season, I don't think experience plays into it as much as when you get into the playoffs. It's a different animal. The physicality is more. The refs really let a lot go by. Just the grind and the importance of, you know, elimination games and home court. Everything is magnified in the playoffs. And that's where experience and youth, you know, really can separate teams.
Well, amazingly, when we look at the Warriors now, and of course, we're now on the cusp of the grand off season that is the NBA. I mean, the NBA off season has really become a phenomenon.
Oh,
it certainly
so
was
fun.
Last year and the mm-hmm. year before. So when we look now, here we are on the cusp. It certainly appears that the Warriors are going to be able to hold this team together, mm-hmm. that Durant, though he could, will not leave. He will stay. And that this
and
core,
why would he leave? The suggestions that he needs to go to prove himself, he needs to go to a team that need. Are you out of your mind? Nobody suggested that to MJ or Scottie Pippen. Or right. No, he has proved himself. You are not only a two-time champ, you're a league MVP, and you are a back-to-back finals MVP.
Right.
You have already proven yourself. So put down the haterade, people. He is here to stay in Golden State, and he would be foolish to leave that core.
Yeah, he'll be foolish because you won there. You didn't win in OKC. You didn't win in OKC. It's just how it transitioned. He was a free agent. He went to a super team that already had previously won a championship, and they just won 73 games but lost to Cleveland. So they just needed an energy boost, which was Kevin Durant. He'd be foolish to leave. My opinion, I think Klay leaves. Out of that group, I think Klay leaves.
Well, don't you be talking like that. I love me some Klay Thompson.
I know you love some Klay Thompson, Ms. Carla, but I just feel like he will be the odd bunch to go. To prove himself on another team that he can still keep up that caliber of play of his.
Here's what the only thing that maybe will tip me off. I agree with you there. I think if there's one that's likely to leave, it would be Klay, because he is as well an all-star, but it is not Klay's team. I mean, everyone pretty much knows it's Steph's team. It also can be KD's team. And the difference is that Klay does not have an ego. I mean, there's times I think it gets to him, of course. The feeling of winning and the feeling of being a champion, you know, he's such a quiet guy. And I don't know if you saw the post-game presser, but Scott Van Pelt had a one-on-one interview with him. Klay Thompson is a man of very few words, not a lot of expressions. He was like a 10-year-old kid that had just, like, you know, been led into a candy store. He's eating popcorn. He's talking nonstop. He's saying, this is the best feeling in the world. I've never had this feeling. It was worth everything. He couldn't stop talking. I said to my husband, you've got to see this. He is talking more than I am. Like, this does not happen to Klay. So I wonder if, you know, this is just now three times for him. Remember, he's in the press conference and with Draymond and KD. And Draymond says, wait. Klay's Googling himself. He wants to see, oh, it says three-time champion. Oh, snap. That's dope. And there is Klay Thompson at the podium Googling. I have never seen this child like just this total exuberance in Klay Thompson.
Hard to leave all that fun behind.
Wow. I mean, just.
All right. Well, one guy who sure appears ready to leave his team behind is LeBron James. And when we come back, we're going to unpack where will LeBron land. There are about three or four likely destinations. We'll take a hard look at it. You'll get to hear the opinion of Carla Dawson when we return here on the Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, the Boss and the Gloss, we are back. And one guy who doesn't seem like he will be going back is LeBron. It is interesting. There is a widely held perception that he will, in fact, leave Cleveland. There's not much mystery about that. He's out, is he not?
I would be shocked if he wasn't out. Yeah.
Tone, tenor.
What's there for him?
His comments, even when he talks about sort of his teammates or he needs a team that plays with a cerebral point of view. I mean, he's really saying, look, I have reason to leave.
Yes, which is really lovely as a leader of a team. Really builds up that confidence for all those young guys in that locker room. Right. And Kevin Love, who's played alongside him faithfully.
That almost concession speech after game three. Then game four starts. They're all lined up. It seemed like it was over. He did not envision a big comeback from down, being down 0-3.
That to me was shocking. And here's where I say you all need to stop your MJ LeBron comparisons, because what I witnessed before tip-off of Game 4, never have I seen with Michael Jordan, was the anthem. You know, so they go right to LeBron's face, of course, when the anthem is playing, and I'm expecting beast mode. You know, that look that he has that, oh, you just know he's taking over. He was kind of looking around. He looked like, let's get this over with, like us got to move on. And then they panned over to the Warriors. And I was curious because I thought, you know, maybe that's the mode in the room. I don't know. No way. They went down the line of, you know, the starting five. And, boy, they were dialed in. I mean, I said right there, the game's over. The Cavs are not coming out of this. They're leader, their savior, their, quote, Jesus, he's done. Yeah. He's already dialed it in.
Yeah.
It was shocking for me to see that. Michael Jordan would never do it. Do you agree?
I agree. Yeah. No, and Robert's never. Nodding behind you. So you put all these things together. I mean, Robert, do you have any mystery in your mind that LeBron's leaving? He is going to leave Cleveland, is he not?
Yeah, he's leaving Cleveland.
Okay.
Everybody else, including me, just don't know where.
But let's talk about where for a minute here.
Do you think he mailed it in, though, before game four?
Oh, for sure. Yep. Actually, it started game one when J.R. Smith ran the other way and didn't know the score of the game. And when you done that, when you went to overtime, Cleveland was pretty much out of it. They
You're so
right.
Pretty
much out of it. So
they had no fire-breathing attitude in that overtime. They gave up. That is absolutely true, where you should be like, okay, yeah, you made a stupid mistake. I'll deal with you later. Come on. We got this. It was like the eye roll, and Golden State beat him by 10 in overtime. Yeah, great point to bring that up, Robert. You're right. It was game one.
Okay, but so all that goes wherever he goes, right? The notion that I am the alpha male and everybody else is in my entourage. But he has about four options, I think. I mean, if he's going to go to a team that can chase Golden State for the championship, there are about four considerations. The Rockets, obviously the top of the list. They were probably the second best team in the league this year behind Golden State. Here in Houston, where we sit, lots of rumors that he's coming. In fact, if you look at sportsmap.com today, Patrick Creighton wrote a big article all about LeBron to Houston. This is in the air right now, and he would radically change the makeup of this team.
Not for the better. Talent-wise?
Yeah.
There's no denying he is the best player in the NBA right now, period.
Right.
You know, he is. But what he brings, the intangibles that he brings, I want to give you a visual. Game four, the NBA Finals, this past Friday night, third quarter, Warriors are pulling away. Went from an 11-point lead to now we're at 17-18. Who's the leader of the Cavs? Who's the player coach, the player GM, the player owner? Oh, that would be LeBron. So Ty Lue calls the timeout. This, to me, said everything. And I think of all these teams who are, you know, they're going to be vying for LeBron's services and selling off every piece they have practically to get this guy. Think about this. Ty Lue is crouched down, back to the court. He's got his guys that are on the floor. He's talking to the whole team, devising up something in panic mode. LeBron is two chairs over by himself, paying no attention to Ty Lue, with F-bombs coming out of his mouth. He is screaming, I don't know what, and I don't know who he's talking to. Nobody's listening to him. And I think, I don't like that visual. You are the leader. You're the on-court leader. You're the off-court leader. This is your coach. These are young guys. This is you go home night, and you're off there having your little temper tantrum in the corner. So Houston, you know, Oklahoma City, Lakers, Philly, this is what you're going to have to deal with if he doesn't like what's going on.
And the Rockets, compared to some of those other teams you mentioned, they have more to lose, right? They're on the cusp. They're a team that almost made it. Short of Chris Paul's injury, they might well be the team that won the championship. So for them to blow up that nucleus and the chance to chase another season with that team, they would have to give up more. It is a bigger risk for the Rockets.
It's huge for the Rockets. And I think, I don't know if you're Houston, if you want to mess with this, because if you look at what they had, they're the only 65-win team, best record in the NBA. They pushed the Golden State Warriors to one half away from the NBA Finals. They're one Chris Paul hamstring away from the NBA Finals. And they've got a chemistry that works. If you look at that game seven that was in Houston on their court, two things happened that are probably, you know, not, well, one of them definitely shouldn't be repeated, which is a consecutive 0-for-27 from three by the Rockets.
A statistical anomaly.
That's called who picked the black shamrock. I mean, my gosh, that is just impossible. And then you look, playing as poorly as that, having an 0-for-27 consecutive 3-point shooting, they still, with 5 minutes to go, are only down six. And they've got their leader on the team, the second lead that's behind Harden in scoring, assists, Chris Paul sitting on the bench. why do you think you have to add pieces? And I know that Chris Paul does have durability issues, but honestly, I am asking you, do you think they need to add things here? I don't know. Am I crazy?
Yeah, well, it would almost be a deal with the devil right now to bring in LeBron and blow up what you've got, maybe lose Capella to make room for him. Again, not discounting his talent at all, but it would very much change the chemistry of that team, a team that was on the cusp of a championship. So let's leave them aside. Interestingly, the flavor of the day a couple days ago was the Celtics and the notion that LeBron could go to the Celtics. And if he were to go to the Celtics, that would really position them for the championship. And to be sure, they would be an elite team. But that Celtics team, they have a trajectory. Danny is building them. He's got a plan that he's implementing very, very deliberately and well. And again, you'd be throwing out that trajectory by bringing LeBron. Who knows what you'd have to give up? At the very, very least, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, they'd be gone because you really couldn't fit them in a salary cap world. I mean, that would be a lot of talent on one team. You probably have to look at Kyrie Irving because he left Cleveland not wanting to play for LeBron.
And that is the reason he left.
You'd have a whole bunch of turmoil on a beautifully orchestrated plan that Danny has underway.
I'll tell you what, you look at the Golden State model. I'm going to go back to them because they deserve a lot of love today. And LeBron and his talk to the hand issue has just taken over, you know, a third championship in 4 years. You look at what Steve Kerr has done and what Brad Stevens has done in Boston for the success. They have a brotherhood and they have buy-in.
Yep.
And that's what both those teams have done. You bring in LeBron, there's not a brotherhood with Kyrie. That's why Kyrie left. And there's no, he doesn't buy, LeBron doesn't buy in. He tells what you're doing. So I think you really risk messing with a system that works very, very well. I mean, it's so happy what's going on in Boston.
Okay, let's leave Boston aside then. Philadelphia.
You're killing me.
The 76ers. They're obviously one of the – in fact, if you look at Vegas right now, Vegas thinks the 76ers must be the favorite because they have picked the – well, they said the 76ers are on the ESPN Power Rankings in Vegas. They are
favored. Behind the Warriors and the Rockets.
Yeah, behind the Warriors and the Rockets. They're favored over the Celtics. The Celtics, of course, just beat them in the playoffs and get – both, well, Kyrie Irving coming back and Gordon Hayward coming back. So somewhere, somebody believes that LeBron's going to the 76ers. One really interesting fact is, of course, the 76ers no longer have a general manager. And so, hypothetically, they could hire a GM who might be LeBron-friendly, a GM who could recruit LeBron well, a GM who LeBron would find suitable. And then LeBron would join what is supposedly the Sixer Big Three with Fultz, if he gets his game in order, Simmons, and, of course, Joel Embiid.
And they have room to sign a max player, and they have a number 10 lottery pick.
Yep.
So there's a lot of potential for the 76ers.
You like them to the 76ers, Robert?
I like them because of the young talent that they acquired. For the Houston Rockets, that's too much new math
to
do.
That's what Daryl Morey calls it, new math.
Right.
But for Philadelphia 76ers, I see him on that team because he can add experience. He can add the veteran leadership that he does possess. And he's real good friends with Ben Simmons. I think they have the same agent, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Oh, I think you're right about that.
Yeah, so.
And that you're right. A young core of talent like that will listen to him. Because, you know, I look at what's happened in Cleveland, and I've heard so much narrative of, you know, that Cleveland has the worst roster, and they were playing against the best roster. Well, the roster is exactly who LeBron wanted. J.R. Smith, the Cavs weren't going to re-sign him. He tells them to re-sign them. Tristan Thompson, same deal. LeBron got what he asked for, so I don't want to hear it. I mean, take credit, LeBron. You are the one that got them this far. Yes, you did. I mean, with crazy last-minute shots against Toronto, 51 points against Golden State. But take credit for the roster that's around you.
All right. So we're landing with LeBron to the 76ers. When we come back, we're going to look at another significant force in the National Football League, Dez Bryant. We're going to look at where he will land when we return on the Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
All right, fun to shift gears now and talk a little NFL. Dez Bryant continues to be in the news. Well, it's interesting. He's one of the biggest free agent names left. I mean, the free agency season is basically done in the NFL. Yet Dez still looming out there. And Deion Sanders.
For 2 months he's been looming.
Yes, for a bit here. And Deion Sanders, the former Cowboy cornerback, had something to say about where Dez should land. It was sort of an interesting, well, a novel idea. What did Deion have to say?
He said there's only one NFL team that should sign him.
Well.
And that would be Du Bois.
Bring him back.
He wants him back in Big D. A little boomerang effect.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
You're our Cowboys expert. What do you think?
Well, I get his logic. I mean, he did note that when the Cowboys cut Dez Bryant, they had not yet learned that Jason Witten was going to retire.
Right.
Terrence Williams hadn't had that bad night out on
the
town.
Didn't know he was going to abandon his Lamborghini after running into a pole.
And Robert Harris lectured us all that it's not good to go out driving a Lamborghini after midnight. Is that right, Robert?
Yeah, that's correct. That's
okay,
correct.
Thank you for the affirmation. And in light of those two developments, Deion's saying, look, the Cowboys need to bring Dez back. They need more help in the receiving corps.
Well, they could use a veteran on the receiving corps because it has become young. But remember, too, also, Will McClay, the VP of player personnel, when he let Dez go, he was clear. He said he's not that talented anymore. So I think that would be a tough platform for Dez to come back to. It wasn't like, oh, well, this is a salary cap play, which was what was said in the media.
Sure.
McClay was pretty clear about it.
Yeah, McClay was more forthcoming. Look, I think that internally the Cowboys just concluded. They looked at the film. They think Dez has lost a step. He didn't run great routes. He did have some problems with drops last year. He's still exceptional at running after the catch. But no, I don't think that anyone's going home again. Dez Bryant's going to find a home, but it will not be with the Cowboys.
He wants word on the street as he would like to go to San Francisco.
Well, that might be a nice fit. I mean, they have the new, what do they call him? Jimmy Never Lose?
Yes.
Garoppolo, he just doesn't bother losing, right? Why bother losing if you can win?
Sure, and then you've got feisty Richard Sherman. I mean, this could be a fun place for Ruben.
That would actually be intriguing, having Sherman and Bryant on the same team.
Dez
Bryant, that would be a heck of a deal. You know, the other rumor this week that came out, okay, let's shift to the Patriots for a minute, because with Edelman getting suspended, he failed a test. And so he will miss 4 games at the least. Now he's going to appeal, and there's all that process that we all have to watch and see the ups and downs. But let's assume he's out for 4 games. Patriots look a little thin at receiver, and on the short list of candidates to step in is Dez Bryant. Could he be a Patriot?
Of course he could. Randy Moss was a successful Patriot. So I think easily I could see that happening. What I do think is a little interesting with Julian Edelman, so he is facing a 4-game suspension for violating the NFL policy on PEDs. And he issued a statement that said he's really sorry, doesn't know what happened. He apologized to the Kraft family, to his coaches, to his teammates. And he says, you know, as this is being appealed, I can't say anymore, but I'm going to be ready. You're apologizing for the action that you're appealing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's,
I think your appeal is done at that fact. You don't apologize then. Don't, you know, I'm confused by
that.
And
there haven't been a lot of successful appeals in this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is what it is. He's going to miss these games. I'd be very surprised if the league let him off on this. Some regard. I mean, how could they let him off? It would have to be extenuating circumstances because there's so many other players. The first step when they're caught is to appeal. And then the appeal is denied, and then we move on. The appeal is almost just the process. It's the next step that they always take.
You know, and honestly, with Julian Edelman at 32 years old, you know, bringing in Dez, you do get a little bit younger. And Edelman has been out the year with an ACL, you know, injury. So maybe maybe Patriots are a great landing spot.
Well, it's interesting. Patriots have not had a lot of big, tall receivers in some time. And they've got these little guys running around. I mean, obviously Randy Moss, but that's a long time ago now.
That's right.
They've had guys like Hogan and Edelman.
Chris Hogan, exactly.
Little guys who are very shifty and quick and smart players, frankly. They sit down in zones. They read option routes really well. Dej will be a different kind of figure in that clubhouse and on that team. But put him out there, put him alongside Gronk. You'd have some big size over the middle.
When you started talking about that, I could envision that.
Okay, another wide receiver who is now with the new team, Jordy Nelson, landing with your beloved Raiders. And he got some good comments from his coach this week.
He really did, and from Derek Carr as well. I mean, there are a lot of raised eyebrows when John Gruden brought in a 33-year-old Jordy Nelson.
Yep.
But, you know, I think looking at last year's numbers in Green Bay are not totally fair because he was coming off of an ACL injury and didn't have Aaron Rodgers, his yin-yang guy. But they're saying out of Oakland, the best thing about Jordy Nelson, well, John Gruden said he is possibly, if not the best route runner in the NFL, one of them. And he can read cover. He reads coverages like a quarterback. So in the wide receiver's room, he acts like the quarterback with these guys. And Amari Cooper needs that veteran leadership. I think this is going to be great for him because while Michael Crabtree, who's an uber-talented receiver, didn't quite bring what Jordy Nelson brings to the table. I think his leadership role, he's a pro's pro. He's exactly what this wide receiver room needs.
One of the amazing things in the NFL that certainly has evolved over the last 10 to 15 years is the option routes mm-hmm. by receivers. They're insanely mm-hmm. popular. The receiver has to make a real-time decision as he's coming down the field. He didn't just run a square out or a square in.
That's right.
He goes downfield, looks at the defense, goes one way or the other. He can sit down in zones. So to have a receiver who does that well and is a quarterback going downfield as he is really a gift to that team. But he'll need it to rub off on others. If you look at the Raiders receiving core, they did get Ryan Switzer from mm-hmm. the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. You're a big fan of his.
Well, I like Switzer. You know, the Cowboys drafted him in the fifth round over a year ago. He didn't get a lot of time as a receiver because he was backing up Cole Beasley in the slot position.
He was special teams, though, too.
He was more of a special teams contributor. He returned punts. He returned some kickoffs. He's a shifty guy. As he develops his game, as he learns how to read defenses, I think he looks like a Cole Beasley. I think that's what the Cowboys thought they were getting when they drafted him, and I think he can play that slot receiver role probably mm-hmm. pretty effectively mm-hmm. for the Raiders. It is interesting, from the Cowboys' perspective, that trade, which went down on draft day, it was the Cowboys giving up Ryan Switzer to the Raiders, and in return getting Jihad Ward. And now Ward is a guy who was drafted in the second round by the Raiders over a year ago, and he's come to the Cowboys, and the reports coming out of Dallas are that he looks very, very good. He's moving very well for a man his size. And I think the narrative out of Dallas, at least at the moment, is that Ward is a really good athlete who may just have been a bad fit in that Raiders system, and he'll be a better fit with Marinelli.
Oh, great. I think it worked out great for both teams. And I do think he's a great athlete, and I think he will do well in Dallas. It didn't work for him in Oakland.
Well, Cowboys looking to bolster that defensive line. They now have some solid guys who are pretty young and have real growth opportunity. Obviously, DeMarcus Lawrence coming off a great season last year where he had 14 sacks. Cowboys have him on the franchise tag, so he will be at one defensive end spot. They've got to find the right answer at the other defensive end spot. Taco Charlton was a first-round pick. He struggled early in the season, as many rookies do at the defensive end position, but in the last five or six games, he showed some flashes. He had some sacks. He was making tackles in the backfield. So the Cowboys could line up Charlton at one end, maybe Tyron Crawford at that end, DeMarcus Lawrence. And then in the tackle spot, they've got Malik Collins and Jihad Ward. Well, David Irving will hopefully get his act together, and that would round out a pretty good defensive front for that Cowboys defense.
And Jalen Smith is looking great, so...
Well, the nice thing coming out of Dallas right now, which is perhaps the most heartening story of all, is that Jalen Smith is playing without that brace that he had to wear last year. He had the drop foot condition mm-hmm. where he couldn't hold up his foot, so he had to have a brace to hold it up. And you've got to believe that would affect his at least side to side mobility. Mm-hmm. He was not the same athlete. This year, no drop foot, no brace. He's running freely. He's running, he says, with the same, if not better, speed than he had in Notre Dame. And if so, the Cowboys linebacking core could look pretty impressive because you've got Jalen Smith. Sean Lee, when healthy, is as good as anybody. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they drafted in the first round Leighton Vander Esch. And so that threesome would be a pretty impressive trio at the linebacker position for the Dallas Cowboys.
It's looking good up there in Big D for you.
Well, one player rumored for the Cowboys is Earl Thomas. I don't see that happening. I'll just disclose that right here. But Earl Thomas is in the news again because Earl Thomas is holding out from the Seahawks, and he says he does not want to play. He does not want to show up unless he gets another deal. So Thomas holding out, and Seahawks in an awkward spot with Earl Thomas, the great veteran safety for the Seahawks.
Right, and you know he has a chance with Richard Sherman gone, and you know really to and Cam Chancellor. I mean, you know we don't know what's going to happen with the injury situation with him if he's able to come back. But Earl Thomas is talking out of both sides of his mouth. He says, "I want to be a Seahawk for life. Let's get this deal done." And then he's chasing down Jason Garrett at the end of the season in a win over Dallas, saying, "Hey, come get me. Come grab me when I'm available."
Yep.
Hard to know, but I think GM John Schneider up in Seattle, he's going to listen to all offers. He's not crazy.
Well, of course he'll listen to offers. But the reality is right now Earl Thomas is under contract. He's supposed to show up. I mean, this is the deal. Now, he can say, I want more money. And sometimes teams will do new deals before the old ones are done. But there's no mystery. I mean, there's not an option here. Once the bell rings, Thomas has to show up. He's going to be fined if he doesn't show.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so true. And he's entering the final year of this deal. He's going to make scheduled to make $8.5 million this year.
That would be an expensive holdout.
Yes, it would.
All right, another safety who is not going to be playing for really a very sad reason is Texan safety and Andre Howe.
Man.
And
he's that's so rough.
Been diagnosed with a really tough, I mean, a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he was a guy the Texans were counting on. So it's both obviously a devastating personal issue, but in a hard moment for the Texans team as well.
And I don't know what's going on in Houston because they just got back David Quisenberry, who is non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he played his first NFL game last year, towards the end of last year, which was exciting. But I love, you know, Andre Howell had such a great attitude. He just said, I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. I've got faith. I've got family. I've got friends. I know how to beat this. I will beat this. And fortunately in Houston, MD Anderson Cancer Center, but this is a long haul for this guy.
Yeah.
Wow. And he's young, young and fit and wow.
Well, our prayers go out to him and his family.
Absolutely.
For the Texans at the safety position, he was likely to be a starter. Mm-hmm. Now, they did draft Justin Reed out of Stanford, and he's an exceptional athlete.
So we'll see. That's his to grab, I would think.
Yeah. Reed needs to step in now. I mean, now you've got – you're sort of forced to count on a rookie to step into that role.
And Justin Reed is younger brother of former San Francisco safety Eric Reed, who is also remaining unsigned with Dez.
Well, duly noted. I mean, actually, there are a couple of safeties out there, Kenny Vaccaro and Eric Reed. These are they're pretty good players.
They're really good players.
They're out for different reasons. I mean, Reed has the whole political drama around the national.
He's tied very
protest.
Closely to Colin Kaepernick.
No doubt. But I don't know. I mean, Vaccaro is a pretty good player. He had a couple good years with the Saints. I think he's still only about 27 or 28 years old. It would seem that he's a guy who could step in and make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Texans will have to go look and get some depth at that position. Okay, we've got lots of depth here in our room because we've got the Gloss, we've got Robert Harris, and when we come back, we'll wrap up our first hour. We'll give a last quick look at what's going on in New England because both Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski will not participate in the voluntary sessions that are coming up next week. When we return on the Boston, the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gal and Carla Dawson.
All right, we only have a few minutes left here before the hour ends, but this has not been a good offseason for the Patriots. The drama still continues. I mean, they all came together, they had press conferences, and they said they were getting back to football. But then Gronkowski and Brady, they're bugging out. They're not going to stay for this last session of voluntary activities. It was a thought when they came in for the mandatory, they might just stay for this last volunteer. But they bugged out. They just couldn't wait to leave town.
I call it the 19th year itch. You know, Brady and Belichick, this is year 19.
I remember my 19-year itch. It was a really tough year. Yeah.
You're only 21, so you have an amazing memory.
That's right.
You know, from your two-year-old days. But yes, it's. I think what we're seeing here is two alpha winners.
Yep.
And some fractures in this relationship. And I think you pointed it out to me earlier today about the drama from the Super Bowl that cost them a Super Bowl.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of carryover.
It may not be a fair comparison, but it almost reminds me of when there wasn't enough success to go around or to be shared between Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson.
Remember, it led
to their severing because they both wanted the full credit for what had been done.
And it cost the Cowboys some championships.
Oh, I think it did. And it certainly cost them that next season when Barry Switzer came in and they got close. They lost to the 49ers in the NFC Championship game. Now, they did come back and win
a
third.
Set the 49ers dynasty off in the – yes.
But this Brady-Belichick battle – is sort of awkward. And, of course, there immediately, when Edelman got tested positive, there were whispers that he must have been infected by Alex Guerrero, the trainer for TB12 for Tom Brady, that he was to blame, was the conventional wisdom out of Boston. Now, I think in hindsight, with deliberate view, that was not the case. Alex Guerrero is still available and around for lots of players. I think if he were doing anything really untoward or illegal, they would have figured that out and he would have been really disbarred from the whole team facility. So, no, I don't think that, but it's just amazing how quickly people jump to that kind of a conclusion. Tough stretch for New England.
No, it is a tough stretch. And, you know, it kind of started, too, before the Super Bowl when Alex Guerrero's access was limited.
You bet.
By Bill Belichick, which you can't. Bill Belichick says, I've always had a good relationship with Tom Brady. I say, Tom Brady's always been at OTA before this year.
You heard it from the Gloss. We'll be right back on SB Nation Radio.